Well, it's quite hard to find something that everyone agrees on these days. But here is something. When someone dies, they stay dead. We all agree on that? When someone dies, they stay dead. And actually, that is something that all these people in this passage agreed on, didn't they? So you've got these women, Mary and Salome or Salome, I don't know how you say her name, but there she is. And you've got Joseph of Arimathea, and you've got Pilate, and you've got the centurion, and they're very different people, but they all agree when someone dies, they stay dead. Like, no one here is expecting anything out of the ordinary to happen. Joseph, he really respected Jesus, we're told. And so his only thought as he sees Jesus die is, I need to look after his body. I need to treat it with the honour that it deserves. And so Joseph, you see, he's really brave. And he goes and he asks Pilate for permission. And he takes Jesus' body off the cross and he carefully wraps it up. We saw that in the video, didn't we? And he places it in a tomb. And then you've got Pilate. Now, Pilate has not got any of those personal feelings towards Jesus going on. He is just keen to make sure that his orders to execute Jesus have been carried out. And so when Joseph goes and bravely asks him, makes this request, well, Pilate wants to make sure. And so Pilate goes and he double checks. Is Jesus really dead? And the people who know, the soldiers say, yes, he is. And so Pilate gives permission and then gets on with his day. And then you've got these women, Mary and Salome. And these women love Jesus. They must have been so upset. They feel this deep need to stay near to Jesus, even though they're powerless to do anything to help him. They just feel like, I need to still be near him. And so they watch him at a distance on the cross. And then they follow Joseph and they see exactly where Jesus is buried. And then they get up really early, as soon as the sun rises on the third day, and they head back to the tomb in order to anoint his body. Because it's all they can do for him now. Now, the women, they haven't really thought it through, actually, have they? Because it's only on the way to the graveyard again, they go, hang on a second, we watched that massive stone be rolled in front of the tomb. How on earth are we going to get past that stone? How are we going to get in there to anoint his body? You see, they've been so upset, they just haven't really thought about it. They've just been acting on instincts. So there are all sorts of different characters here experiencing all sorts of emotions, but not one of them even considers that Jesus might not stay dead. I think that is really helpful for all of us to see this afternoon, actually, because I think it gives us confidence that something completely unexpected, something amazing, really did happen that first Easter. Because when someone dies, they stay dead. But all the evidence here in Mark's gospel points us to the fact that that extraordinary morning, Jesus didn't stay dead. God got involved and surprised everyone. So there are the women, and they say to one another, who is going to move that stone? And then they turn the corner in the graveyard and they see that the stone has been rolled away. And they're confused. What on earth? What on earth has happened? They rush into the doorway and they're greeted by this angel who gives them one of the most important messages that has ever been delivered. Don't be afraid. Jesus is alive. You see, when someone dies, they stay dead unless God makes them alive again. Now, maybe you're here this afternoon and you're not convinced that Jesus really rose again. Well, can I suggest that even if you are open, you know, in a very cautious, I'm not sure kind of way, to the possibility that there might be a God out there who made this world. And if he did, well, he keeps it going through all the ordinary laws of physics and biology and chemistry, the kind of things we learn about at school. But also, well, because he's the creator, he could choose as a one-off for the sake of his beloved son, maybe, to do something that no one expected, to do something that is outside of the ordinary way that things work. If you are even open to that possibility that a God like that might exist, then actually I think Jesus rising from the dead makes the best sense of this evidence that Mark has set before us. You know, there are other theories. Maybe you've heard this at school or in work or with friends. Maybe you think some of these other theories, but I just don't think they stand up. You know, all the characters know, don't they, for sure, that Jesus is dead. I think that's been made really, really clear. And so actually, this isn't a case of him being put in the tomb and coming back to consciousness. And the women, they did not go to the wrong tomb, as some people have suggested. You know, they watched closely, didn't they? They cared far too much to make that mistake. If you've buried someone close to you, you can remember exactly where their grave is, can't you? Even if you've not been there for a long time. They went back to the right tomb 2 days later. The disciples certainly didn't steal the body, did they? Because the disciples don't even feature here. They've run away. And Peter is still crying in a corner somewhere because of the way that he denied Jesus. And I think we've seen more than enough here to see that this isn't a case of kind of mass hallucinations where people imagine the kind of outcome that they really want to see, because no one has got any hope that anything is happening here other than a dead man is being buried. I think if we're open to the idea of a God existing, however small, like how much we're a bit want to be cautious about that, then I think we've got to follow the evidence all the way to its remarkable conclusion. Don't be afraid. Jesus is alive. And that changes everything. There's all sorts of things we could say about how it changes. We're not going to have time this afternoon to do that, but I just want to say two things that kind of arise from Mark's account for us about how the resurrection changes everything. Now, you know how you can go on Google Earth? Do you go on Google Earth? And here we go. You can zoom right out, can't you? And you can see the whole world like that. Or you can zoom right in down to street level. And there we go. We've got a lovely postman outside the church here. Okay, you can zoom right down to the kind of individual, personal level. Well, I think Mark shows us that Jesus' resurrection changes everything on that zoomed out, worldwide level, and also on the zoomed in, individual, personal level. And so let's just think about that very briefly. So first of all, the zoomed out, worldwide level, the resurrection, it means that God's King is alive, and ruling, and one day he's going to come back to judge the whole world in perfect justice. We see that Jesus' resurrection means he's the king who will judge the world. And actually, Jesus made that clear ahead of time. So in that Lego video, can you remember when Jesus was stood before the high priest? And the high priest said to him, "Are you the Messiah?" And do you remember what Jesus said? He said, "I am." But actually, the video couldn't include everything, could he? But in Mark's gospel, we're told Jesus then went on to say something else. He said, "Yes, I am. I am the rescuing king." And then he said this. He said, "And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. This is Jesus's Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator moments. Now, I'm sorry if like that's too old a film for you. I haven't been to the cinema for like 3 years, so old films are all I've got. Okay, but Jesus stands there in front of his enemies, and he says to them, they're about to kill him, and he says, "I'll be back. I'll be back." He says, "Actually, I am going to win. Good is going to triumph over evil, despite what you're going to do to me. I am going to receive the place of highest honour as God, my Father, raises me to life and raises me up to that place. And so one day as the ruling king, I am going to return to judge this whole world with perfect justice." Jesus' resurrection has huge significance for the whole world. You know, George, you just prayed for actually the Lord to humble and stop Vladimir Putin, didn't you? Because of the awful evil he's doing. And actually, because the Lord Jesus, his reign is going to come back in judgment one day, we can be sure that will happen. He will face justice one day because the Lord Jesus is reigning. His resurrection has got significance for the whole world, the biggest possible level. He is alive. No one is outside his authority. It couldn't be any more important, actually, for all of us to recognise and honour him as king. But then there's also the zoomed in personal level. Jesus' resurrection means he's our friend who loves to forgive. Do you remember the instructions the angel gave to the women? So he said, don't be afraid. Jesus is alive. And then the angel gave them some instructions. Do you remember what the angel said? Anyone put their hand up and tell me what the angel said? Is that a hand at the back? Said, go and tell someone something. Can you remember? That's right, I'll tell you what. Yes, yes. Yeah, exactly. It was. This is what the angel said. Go, tell Jesus' disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just like he told you. Now again, just think back to that Lego video. Why is that quite a surprising thing? Message for Jesus to leave. Why is that quite surprising? Say, go and tell the disciples that I'm going to go ahead and meet them in Galilee. What have the disciples just done? Well, they've just run away, haven't they? They abandoned Jesus. When he got arrested, they ran away. They weren't actually like the two Marys and Salome who stayed close to him the whole time. They ran away. They let him down so badly. And so if Jesus had stayed dead, that would be it for them. It would be an awful way for their friendship to end. They'd have lifelong regrets. No chance to say sorry. But the message from the angel tells them that Jesus' resurrection changes everything on a deeply personal level. Because their failure is not the end of the story. They're going to get to see Jesus again. And not so that he can tell them off for how they've treated him. No, he's died for their sins and he wants to meet them and spend time with them as their friends. His resurrection is a sign of forgiveness and a fresh start. And I love here as well that Peter is singled out. Go and tell the disciples and Peter. Because, you know, it's said that Peter's one of the disciples, isn't he? He'd be included. But of course, Peter is the guy who has let Jesus down the worst. Denied him 3 times. And so how beautiful that Jesus makes sure the angel says, tell Peter that I am looking forward in particular to seeing him. Imagine what that would have felt like to Peter to hear that message. And it's exactly the same for all of us. Jesus loves to forgive us. He wants to be our friend. And because he's alive, that's all possible. We can enjoy a real relationship with him. Well, so much more we could say about the resurrection, why it matters, why it's such good news. But just as we finish, just think about then our response. I guess for some here this afternoon, the reality of Jesus' resurrection, well, it might mean actually you need to take some time to think through, actually, do I need to reorientate my life so that Jesus comes and sits in a central position, the central position his death and resurrection demands. You consider, actually, do I want to embark on this relationship with Jesus such that one day when he comes back, I'm going to meet him not as his enemy, with actually scared of judgment, but I'm going to meet him as his friend, confident in his forgiveness and love. If that's you, I'd love to chat more. I'd love to get in touch by email. If you want to take the time to consider actually what it would look like to start following this Jesus. And then for everyone here who is already following Jesus, he's your friend. However old you are, you can be very young and start following Jesus, have him as your friend. You can be very old and have Jesus as your friend. Well, I think there is a lovely challenge here for us as we think about the women and Joseph. Just think about the women and Joseph again. They were so committed to Jesus, weren't they? They were brave. They were prepared to do all sorts of things in service of Jesus, even though they were convinced that he was dead. And that was the end of it. They were still so committed to him. Well, how much more actually should we be devoted to Jesus, willing to stand with him, want to serve him, because we know that he's alive and he loves us. And therefore, actually, anything we do out of our love for him, service of him, actually, that is always going to be, it's not going to be wasted. It's always going to be worthwhile. So there's a little thought for us as we finish. Let me pray, and then we're going to sing again.